with this?
Her face was still frozen, and then at one point her eyes slowly widened as she stared off. Then, when she looked at me, I knew. The wheels had finally started turning in her head. She saw where I was going with this. She gripped my hands tighter as her eyes flitted from side to side. Then her words finally came.
The articles. Amanda's saving those articles. Of mine. You think...
She thought it was
me?
Her chest was heaving. I don't know. She never told me a single thing. If she'd gone looking for the egg donor, she certainly didn't want me to know about it. Sadie exhaled, never letting go of my hands. I couldn't tell what she was thinking. She just looked numb and a little scared, which made it all the more difficult to admit what I needed to. When the possibility hit me, Sadie, I freaked out. I decided I needed to know the truth before I even addressed this with you. I didn't want to cause you any unnecessary alarm, so I made a very hasty decision to take your toothbrush and hair and send them to a lab along with Birdie's DNA. Sadie's face reddened to a color I had never seen before. Her breathing became rampant.
What?
It was the wrong decision, I said. It was made out of fear, not fear of the result, but fear of losing you, Sadie. I love you, and nothing would make me happier than to know that the loving, wonderful human who gave a part of herself to us is also the woman I love. Make no mistake, there is nothing that scared me about the thought that my daughter could actually be a part of you and me. But the entire decision to find out, that wasn't my decision to make. So I didn't open the envelope. It's still sealed, and I won't open it without your permission. We never have to open it, in fact. It won't change anything between us or in your relationship with Birdie. You have every right to the privacy you were promised. And I want to sincerely apologize for allowing my fear to control the decision I made. I swallowed hard, waiting for her next reaction. She straightened up against the headboard.
The envelope, it's here?
My heart pounded. Yes. I got the results earlier in the mail. They came this morning, which is why my behavior at the restaurant was so erratic. Her voice was shaky when she asked,
"Do you think it's me?"
"I don't know, baby. Honest to God, I just don't know."
"Are we going to find out?"
"I felt obligated to tell you about the possibility. But in the end, this isn't my choice. It never was. And I never want to do anything ever again that would hurt you or violate your privacy. I will happily rip up that envelope if you want me to. Or you can take it. We can open it up together or forget it ever existed. We don't have to find out. Birdie loves you. Amanda's her mother. Nothing has to change." I hated that I'd placed this burden on her. I didn't know what else to do or say. But I felt the weight lift off my chest now that she knew the truth. I just had absolutely no clue what she was going to do with it.
Chapter 28. Sadie. This felt like a dream. As I continued to sit across from him in shock, I honestly couldn't even move, let alone know what to say. Amanda might have been following me. If she had been given my identity, how was that even possible? I had been assured that the process was anonymous, which was the only reason I had agreed to it in the first place. "I'm sorry, I still haven't wrapped my head around this," I said. Sebastian leaned in and took me fully into his arms. My breathing immediately relaxed. Despite the uncertainty and shock, I felt safe. I felt loved. And I knew that no matter what happened, he had my back. To know that he fully supported any decision I made about this meant everything, because I certainly had no idea at this point what the right decision was. "I don't blame you for doing what you did," I said. "I can understand how freaked out you must have been." He exhaled. "Thank you. I now realize I should have talked to you first, but at the time, I thought maybe I could rule it out before having to scare you." He shook his head. "But it was wrong, because if... you know, it turns out you are. That's not my place to know before you, or to know at all." I don't know what the right answer is.
You don't need to make a decision now, or ever.
I blew out another shaky breath and just kept nodding. I've always felt so connected to her.
I know. This whole thing, it's been like some sort of magic from the start. But maybe there was more to it than that.
Suppose Amanda did look for me. Then there's always the chance that they might have given her the wrong info, right? Or maybe my articles just resonated and gave her hope, and this is all just a weird coincidence. I mean, they are public articles. Anything is possible, right?
Of course. That's why I debated even telling you at first. I thought I might be crazy for even thinking it. It seemed so hard to believe.
A tear finally formed in my eye, rolling down my cheek as the realization hit me in waves. Not just because I had no clue what to do, but also because it hit me that if Birdie were my biological child, that she was our child, Sebastian's and mine, made from us. I could have inadvertently made a human with the man I love before I ever even knew him. The emotions that thought brought about were some of the strongest I'd ever experienced. But stronger than anything was the thought that if this were true, how could I ever tell Birdie? She'd already lost her mother, and this would be like losing her all over again in a sense. For what? So I could have some kind of validation? It wasn't fair. Shaking my head repeatedly, I said, I have to think about this.
Take all the time you need. I mean it. We can pretend it's not happening until then. I have no problem doing that. Just tell me that this won't break us, he pleaded.
I looked into the eyes of the beautiful man before me and gave him the assurance he needed. The only thing I am sure of right now is that I need you more than ever. I love you, Sebastian. I love you so much. He reached for me and spoke into my neck.
I don't want you going home tonight. I need you here with me, in my bed. It's time.
I wasn't going to argue with that. I couldn't imagine going home alone right now with the weight of this decision wearing me down. We didn't have sex that night. Sebastian just held me until I fell asleep in his arms, so confused and scared, yet safe and loved. The following morning, it might have seemed like any normal start to a day as the three of us sat in the kitchen having breakfast together. But it felt far from normal. I couldn't stop staring at her. Her blonde hair, was it from me? Her nose, it wasn't exactly like Sebastian's. Did it look like mine?
I was surprised to see you here, Birdie said to me. You're never here for breakfast with us.
Sebastian cleared his throat.
Sadie spent the night last night. How do you feel about her doing that more often? Maybe every weekend?
Birdie shrugged and smiled. Duh. Sebastian and I grinned at each other as he reached across the table for my hand. I was in a total daze. As much as I wanted this dilemma to go away, I knew that the decision wasn't going to come easy or soon. Birdie and I ended up taking Marmaduke to the park after breakfast, enjoying the late autumn beauty of the city. When we returned to the house, we were alone, since Sebastian had been gone at the restaurant most of the day. After Birdie retreated to her room to read a book for a school assignment, I wandered the house aimlessly until I landed right in front of one of the photos of Amanda in Sebastian's room. I lifted the frame and stared into her smiling eyes. It felt natural to speak to her, even though I knew she wasn't really here to listen. What did you intend? Why did you collect those articles? Were you trying to find me, or were you hoping to leave a trail? Were you just curious about me? I sighed. Or maybe we have it all wrong. I wish I could ask you what you would want me to do right now. A tear escaped down my cheek. If Amanda's intention was to find me, why wouldn't she have actually contacted me? She knew she was dying. She apparently knew where to find me, and she never did. So why stalk my articles? I would never know what she wanted. Sebastian had left the decision to me. On one hand, I appreciated that he'd done that. On the other, it might have been easier if someone could just tell me the right thing to do. I'm sorry, Amanda. I'm so sorry. I hope you're in a better place. I promise you I'll look after Birdie. I'll protect her and make sure she has a female role model. Thank you for bringing her into the world. And thank you for leading me to Sebastian. I know it's awkward for me to be thanking you for leading me to your husband, but I promise to love him and to cherish him and to never try to take your place. I truly feel that you would want him to be happy, even if he seems unsure of that. Woman to woman, I know in my heart that you wouldn't want him to be sad and alone.
Hey.
I jumped when Sebastian entered the room. You're back early, I said as I put down the photo.
What were you doing? He asked.
I was talking to Amanda, asking her for guidance. Is that crazy? He smiled.
I do it all the time. All the freaking time.
Does it ever help?
Sometimes I hear her swearing at me, telling me to man up and stop complaining to her.
He chuckled. I'm no closer to a decision on what to do. I think I really need to take some time to think about it.
Take all the time you need.
I think I need to go visit my dad.
Does your father know you donated your eggs?
I nodded. Yeah, I told him before I was going to do it. He wasn't exactly thrilled, but he understood. And in the end, he supported my decision.
Your dad's a great guy. Maybe he can help you decide what's best. I think it's a good idea to talk to him.
Nodding, I wiped my eyes. I'll probably head out there next weekend. He placed a soft kiss on my forehead.
Sounds like a plan. Let's sit on this until then.
Chapter 29. Sadie.
That's some crazy story.
My father shook his head and rubbed the back of his neck. I'd just spent a full hour unloading the entire unbelievable tale, from how I'd come to meet the Maxwell family because of Amanda clipping my articles to how they'd received a donated egg. He'd known some of it already, but not the entire crazy thing. Honestly, saying it out loud truly made the whole thing sound like something from a soap opera. It had been a week since Sebastian had told me everything, and it still felt surreal. I know. So many things had to happen for everything to wind up where we are today. I mean, let's say it turns out that I was their egg donor and somehow Amanda found out my information and started keeping tabs on me. Someone was going to be the recipient of my donation, so that's not even the outlandish part. Though, of course, I realize the donation itself probably isn't something that is commonly done. But even if that happened, Birdie still had to find her mom's clipped articles in the bottom of a box and write to Santa on her own. And then I had to decide to start playing Santa Claus, which eventually led to me being nosy and walking by their house. Birdie had to lose a tiny little butterfly clip on the ground, which I happened to have stumbled across. Not to mention, when I attempted to return it, I was stricken with a sudden case of insanity and decided to pretend to be a dog trainer, one who trained in German. And let's not forget that the actual dog trainer had to coincidentally not show up that day because she happened to have had an emergency on the exact same morning I walked by. And even then, after every one of those crazy chain of events actually did somehow transpire, Sebastian and I still had to fall in love. What are the chances of all of those things happening, Dad?
You know I'm practical to a fault. I believe most things in life come from our own doing. You don't find a $5 bill on the ground because you're lucky. You find it because you're paying attention to your surroundings. But this story here, it's making me think there's more to it than that. Your mother was more religious than I am. I believe that if you work hard, you get to put food on the table for your family. While your mother believed God takes care of the people who serve him. I gotta say, sweetheart, right about now, I'm feeling like maybe I should be going to church on Sundays.
I smiled. What do I do, Dad? Do I open that envelope?
Would it change anything today if you did?
I thought about it and shook my head. I love Birdie already, so it won't change how I feel about her. And I'm not sure it would be the right time to tell her now. You and Mom never hid it from me that I was adopted. I don't remember a time that I ever didn't know. So I never felt like one day you pulled the rug out from underneath me by dropping a bomb that you weren't my biological parents. I always knew who I was. And I would think Birdie would feel like she suddenly didn't anymore, if that makes any sense. Dad nodded.
We struggled to decide how to handle that. But in the end, we felt that the truth always comes out. and often that happens when it's not a good time for it to appear. We didn't want you to believe something your entire life and then find out that everything you knew had been a lie. Your mother and I were afraid that could lead to you having trust issues.
I sighed. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad I always knew. But in Bertie's case, things are a little different. She's 10 years old already. The fact that her mother isn't her biological mother has been hidden from her for a long time now. So she would feel like her world got turned upside down. And you're absolutely right. She might not trust anything her dad, or me for that matter, tells her after springing something like this on her. It's almost like the damage has already been done for 10 years. That can't be changed.
When we were debating how to deal with letting you know, we asked the adoption agency for their opinion. You know what the woman said?
What?
She said if you have to sit down with your child and tell them that they've been adopted, you waited too long.
I blew out a deep breath. I think you're right. Since it's already been kept from her, the focus needs to be on when the best time to come clean is. Is that now or when she's more mature? Or is it not at all?
It sounds to me like you already know the answer to that question.
I smiled sadly. Yeah, I guess I do. Thanks, Dad. He patted my hand.
There's something I want to show you. Come with me.
I followed Dad into his bedroom, and he took an old shoebox down from the top of his closet. He dug around for a minute and then pulled out something.
Here it is. Take a look.
It was a wrinkled up piece of paper with one line of script on it. The handwriting I knew was my mother's. I read it aloud. When two people are meant to be together, God makes it happen. I looked up, confused. What is this?
You know that I was in the military when your mom and I met. I'd come home on leave and met her. We spent every moment we could together for 2 weeks, but then I had to fly back to where I was stationed overseas. I still had 6 months left of my tour.
Yeah, I knew that. He took the paper from my hand and smiled, looking down at it.
We said goodbye the morning I had to ship out. I was crazy about her, but 6 months is a long time. I was afraid I'd come home and she'd have moved on.
Dad winked at me.
Your mom was quite the catch, especially for an average guy like me. Anyway, we said goodbye, and I spent the next 18 hours traveling back to base. That night, when I got changed, this here note fell out of my jacket pocket. Your mother had shoved it in there without my knowing about it. I kept it on me every day until I could get back to her.
He paused and then looked up at me.
The day we brought you home, your mother was sitting in that rocking chair she loved so much, cradling you in her arms, and I couldn't stop watching her.
My heart squeezed. It was such a beautiful thing for him to say, but it also made me sad, too. I leaned my head on my dad's shoulder and looked down at the paper with him.
He cleared his throat. Anyway, your mom caught me staring one time too many and asked me what the heck I was doing. You know what I said?
What?
When two people are meant to be together, God makes it happen.
I swallowed and tasted salt in my throat. Oh, Dad. He folded the piece of paper in his hands and tucked it into my pocket.
Keep it. Share that wisdom with your child someday, whether that turns out to be Bertie or some other lucky little kid.
I couldn't sleep that night, so I texted Sebastian and asked him if I could come by at almost 11 o'clock.
Hey.
He opened the door before I even knocked.
How did you know I was here?
Sebastian smiled.
I was watching out the window for your Uber.
Oh, okay. I took off my coat and hung it on one of the hooks in the entranceway. Sorry to come over so late. When I turned around, Sebastian immediately pulled me into a hug.
I'm glad you're here.
He kissed the top of my head.
I'm just hoping the urgency I felt in your text wasn't because you needed to come dump my ass and get it over with.
I pulled back.
What? No. Why would you think that?
He let out a ragged breath.
I haven't heard from you much over the last couple of days. I thought maybe you came to your senses.
I smiled sadly. I'm sorry. I just needed some time to think.
Of course. Come on, Do you want some tea or something?
I shook my head. No, thanks. We walked into the quiet living room. Birdie's sleeping, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
He held up his wrist where there was a friendship bracelet tied on.
She made me take her to get another kit. And then she interrogated me about whether Santa Claus was real while she taught me how to weave these things. I made one for you.
I smiled. You did?
Yeah, but don't get too excited. I suck at it.
I laughed. Okay, well, it's the thought that counts.
Keep thinking that when you see how lumpy your new jewelry is.
I nodded toward his bedroom. Why don't we go talk in private, just in case she gets up?
Good idea.
Sebastian led me into his room before sitting up against the headboard of his bed, and I settled in facing him, tucked between his open legs. I took his hands. So I've been doing a lot of thinking, and I don't think we should open the envelope. He held my eyes.
You sure?
I nodded. I think at this point, it's Birdie's decision. When she finds out how she was conceived, she may or may not want to find out who her biological mother is. I've never wanted to know mine because I have my family, and I just didn't need anything else. I shook my head. Maybe my decision was born out of an allegiance to my parents. I'm not really sure. But it was my decision, and I think this is Birdie's, not ours. Sebastian dragged a hand through his hair.
Okay, but do we give her that decision now?
Ultimately, I think that's your choice as her father. You know her better than anyone. I feel like it would be better to wait until she's older. But really, it's your call. He went quiet for a long time before he spoke again.
What about you? Won't it be difficult for you to not know if I put off telling her?
Sometimes a difficult thing is also the right thing to do. Over the next 2 hours, we debated all the pros and cons of telling her now or in the future. I shared my honest opinions, and Sebastian listened and told me all his fears. One thing was for sure. I didn't envy him for having to make such a tough decision. The hardest questions are always the ones that don't have a wrong or a right answer. Eventually, he shook his head.
We'll put the envelope in my safety deposit box tomorrow. I don't know when we should tell her. Maybe when she's 18. I'm not really sure. I guess we'll figure out when the time is right, when it's time. At least, I hope so.
I smiled. Yeah, I think we will know.
But I want to discuss something else. I hate to be morbid, but one thing the both of us have learned is that life changes in the blink of an eye. If something happens to me, and you're her mother, she should be with you, Sadie. Right now, my will has custody going to Macy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about that.
I think we should go to my lawyer and get a consult on how it should be handled.
That makes sense. We looked into each other's eyes for a long time. Well, I guess it's settled then, I said. Sebastian smiled.
I guess so.
I took a deep breath in, and my shoulders relaxed for the first time in days. He cupped my cheeks.
I don't know if it's fate or a series of crazy coincidences that brought us together. But whatever led me to you isn't as important as what will keep you here. I love you with all my heart, Sadie.
I love you too. He smiled.
Good. Now, umdrehen.
Umdrehen? My brows furrowed.
Roll over?
Sebastian did some stealth move and I went from sitting up to flat on my back. His eyes twinkled.
You know, deciding not to open that envelope until years from now works in my favor in another way.
Oh yeah? How's that?
It'll give you a reason to stick around and find out the answer.
I smiled. You mean another reason to stick around? He seemed genuinely confused.
What's the first reason?
You. I never needed any other. Chapter 30. Sadie. 4 weeks later. Coffee? Devin sashayed into my office and plopped down 2 rubber-banded stacks of mail onto my desk. Each had to be 3 inches thick. Even more letters than yesterday. I looked down at the piles. I think I need caffeine for this. Can you grab me my usual? A grande iced sugar-free vanilla latte with soy milk? Yep, One cup of no fun coming up.
I went into my desk drawer and pulled out my wallet. Devin held up her hand.
Nope, it's my turn. I'll be back in a bit. Put aside the nuttiest letters for me to read.
I laughed. Always.
2 days ago, the magazine had run a snippet stating that the Holiday Wishes feature would be starting back up next week. I couldn't believe how much mail I'd received in only 48 hours. One of our interns usually helped sort through the letters. She'd pull out the ones she found interesting for consideration, but I also liked to rummage through and open a few myself. Sometimes it was random, maybe the first few letters on the top of the pile, and other times I'd pick by the last name listed on the return address or an interesting place that the person lived. Even though the magazine was only distributed in print in the U.S., I'd always get some readers from across the globe. Yesterday, I'd picked Janice Woodcock because, well, who wouldn't be curious what else a woman with that last name could possibly need for Christmas? I also picked a person who lived in Bacon, Indiana, because, well, bacon. I sat back in my chair, took the rubber band off one of the bundles, and started to shuffle through today's letters. Scanning the names and addresses, nothing seemed to jump out at me until I got to one particular envelope and froze. B. Maxwell. Holy shit, Bertie wrote to Santa again? I couldn't rip the letter open fast enough.
Dear Santa, I'm not sure if you'll remember me or not, but my name is Bertie Maxwell. I wrote to you a few months ago and asked you to bring my dad and me some stuff. Don't worry, I'm not asking for more already. I have everything I need. But here's the thing. I don't think you're real anymore. It wasn't too hard to figure out. You see, in history, we're studying population. My teacher, Mrs. Parker, said the population of the North Pole is zero. She said that humans can't survive the temperatures and pretty much only narwhals live there. Zero people at the North Pole where you're supposed to live. Then there's Susie Redmond, this girl at school. I told you about her before. She saw her mom putting out the presents Christmas morning last year. Also, if you make the toys in your workshop, why do the dolls I got last year say made in China? Something's fishy with that. Oh, and I did the math. Mrs. Parker said there are 1.9 billion kids in the world living on over 200 million square miles, and the average family has 2.67 children. That would mean that you'd have to go 5,083,000 miles per hour to visit everyone on Christmas Eve. How can that old wooden sleigh go so fast? Plus, you can't get in our fireplace. Duh. So, since I'm pretty sure you're not real, you're probably wondering why I'm even writing at all. Well, I've decided that when I grow up, I want to be a writer, just like my special friend Sadie. Sometimes she comes over so that my babysitter can go home early, and we sit at the dining room table doing our work together. Like right now, she's on her laptop typing across from me, and I'm pretending to do my homework. But really, I did my homework in class while the teacher was talking about something boring today, so I'm writing to you just to practice my writing. I covered my mouth with my hand and started to crack up. What a little twerp. We did sit across from each other when I came over early and had work to finish. I had no idea she wasn't doing homework. Still laughing, I went back to finish her letter. Anyway, it's okay that you're not real. I have everything I could ever want. My dad smiles all the time now. That's pretty much because of Sadie. She makes me smile, too. Even if you were real, I wouldn't ask for any presents from me this year. Well, except maybe for Sadie to say yes to what Dad's going to ask her on Christmas. Love, Bertie Maxwell. My eyes widened. To what Dad's going to ask me on Christmas? Christmas Eve had me on pins and needles. This was going to be perhaps the biggest night of my life. I carefully selected my wardrobe, choosing a red dress that I knew Sebastian loved based on the one time I'd worn it before. If he was going to be proposing to me tonight, I wanted to make sure that I was dressed for the occasion. The plan tonight was for Sebastian, Bertie, and me to have an intimate Christmas Eve along with my dad, who would be coming down from Suffern to spend the night in Sebastian's office, which doubled as the guest room. I couldn't wait to show Bertie some of Dad's and my Christmas traditions and to spend a cozy evening at home with the people who mattered to me most.
After catching an Uber to Sebastian's house, I stopped to really take in the cold night air as I exited the car. A few small snowflakes started to appear. Could this be any more perfect of a night? On top of everything, we were getting a white Christmas, too? Was this the last time I'd be standing on this sidewalk as a non-engaged woman? Wow. Let that set in for a moment. I clutched my coat and looked up at the already darkened sky, thanking the man above for making this life possible, for leading me to this family, and for granting me the opportunity to have them as my own. Sebastian opened the door before I had a chance to ring the doorbell.
What are you doing standing out here in the cold, beautiful?
I was just thanking the stars above, literally, for everything. I feel like the luckiest woman alive. He nudged his head.
Get in here so I can kiss you.
Once up the stairs, Sebastian enveloped me in his arms. The warmth of the sweater he wore brought immediate comfort. He smelled so good, like a blend of juniper and sandalwood. He kissed me long and hard, and I could actually feel his heart beating through his chest. I wondered if he was nervous about what might possibly be happening tonight.
Sadie, you're here! It's about time! Birdie came running out.
She wore what many might deem an ugly Christmas sweater with cats on it and had her hair in two pigtails. The three of us fell into a group hug.
I'm so excited for tonight, I said. Are you ready to get started in the kitchen?
Birdie clapped and jumped.
Yes!
Sebastian removed my coat. He took a moment to ogle me in my dress and groaned subtly as he shook his head. I fully looked forward to him taking this dress off me later. We'd need to be quieter than usual with my father in the room next to us, but there was no way I wouldn't be getting some Christmas Eve lovin' tonight. Birdie ran ahead of me to the kitchen. The doorbell rang before I even had a chance to follow her.
That must be Dad.
Sebastian went to open the door. My father wore his famous winter hat with the furry flaps on the ears.
George, glad you made it safely.
Sebastian patted him on the back. Dad's cheeks were red from the cold. How was the train ride? I asked as I pulled him into a hug.
Uneventful.
My father looked around.
Where's Miss America?
I'm right here,
Birdie said, returning from the kitchen. She ran to give my father a hug.
Sadie's daddy!
Merry Christmas, sweetie. It's so wonderful to meet you.
He hugged her extra tight. I knew Dad must have been thinking the obvious, that she could be his granddaughter. Sebastian took my dad's coat.
What can I get you to drink, George? Some of my daughter's delicious rum punch would be nice.
I was just about to go make that, Daddy. Making a non-alcoholic version for Birdie first, then adding the rum to ours, I winked. Birdie and I ventured into the kitchen to start working on the evening's fixings. We roasted chestnuts, made punch, and prepared trays of cut-up vegetables with various chips and dips. Sebastian had had the chef at Bianco's prepare a special lasagna for us, which was sitting in the fridge waiting to be put into the oven later. At one point, Birdie fell into a daydream. Then she said,
"My mom used to make little gingerbread men on Christmas Eve."
My heart clenched. The fact that she was thinking about her mother right now had a profound impact on me. Here I was, doing the best I could to be motherly tonight, when in fact I'd never be able to replace Amanda.
Really?
I said.
Gingerbread men. I love that. I don't remember everything she used to make, but I remember those and Mickey Mouse pancakes.
She shut her eyes momentarily, then said,
I don't want to forget. Sometimes I'm afraid I will when I get older.
In that instant, I knew exactly what we needed to do. We won't forget. Do we have the stuff to make gingerbread men? Her eyes brightened.
I think so. I know we have cookie cutters in the drawer.
I think we need to make them, and if we don't have the ingredients, I'll go out right now and get them, okay? I think we should make them every year in honor of your mom.
She beamed. Thank you. Mommy would like that.
I ended up having to run out to the market down the street for a couple of the ingredients. Thankfully, it was open. After I returned, we made the gingerbread men and frosted them. Just as we were finishing, Sebastian walked into the kitchen.
Just checking on things in here.
His eyes landed on the gingerbread cookies lining the tray.
You're making gingerbread men. Now it makes sense why you ran out to the store.
Yes, Bertie informed me that her mom always made these on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, he smiled. She sure did.
I told her we need to make them every year.
He stared at the cookies for a few seconds before looking up at me and mouthing, "Thank you."
Of course, I mouthed back.
My father walked in. Are those roasted chestnuts I smell?
The four of us gathered around the island, noshing on all the delights along with the punch. After carrying some of the items over to the coffee table in the living room, we gathered around the tree as my father told Sebastian stories from my childhood.
So what did you ask Santa to bring you this year, Bertie?
My dad asked. Nothing, she answered. I have everything I need. Plus, I don't know if Santa's real anymore. We all looked at each other, unsure how to respond to that. Sebastian tackled it first.
How do you explain all the presents every year, then?
I don't know. Maybe it's you. Maybe some of it's real, but not certain parts. Like the chimney? I wrote to someone I thought was Santa. I told you that, Daddy. I used to think it was Santa answering me, but I don't know if it was anymore, she shrugged. But good things have happened ever since. We fell into silence. I believe in good people, she finally said. But I'm still hoping for olives and a glam nail stamper this year. She winked at Sebastian. I sighed. Our little girl was growing up. Our little girl. Either way, she was my girl, no matter what the truth was. Sebastian got up from the couch.
Well, Bertie, you have to wait until Christmas morning to open your presents, because Santa wasn't prepared tonight. But maybe now is a good time to give Sadie the gift we bought her.
She jumped up and down.
Yes, I'm so excited!
Is this it? My heart raced. Was Sebastian about to propose to me with Bertie by his side? Were they going to ask me officially to be a part of their family? I started to get a little choked up as they walked together to the bedroom. My father smiled over at me. I couldn't tell 100%, but he seemed like he might know something. Is he in on it? Sebastian might have asked his permission. Bertie was skipping down the hall next to Sebastian as they returned to the living room. Sebastian carried a box wrapped in shiny red paper with an elaborate gold bow. He took a seat next to me before handing it over.
We thought long and hard about what to get someone who means so very much to us. Ever since you walked in that door, our lives have been richer and full of joy. This gift represents our gratitude to you for being a part of our world. We love you.
My hands shook as I worked to open the box. Then my heart fell a little when I realized it wasn't a ring. I closed my eyes, needing a moment to calm my nerves, because I had been so certain. I opened them. Then, when I caught sight of what it was and it registered, my emotions went from disappointment to complete awe. Inside the box was an exact replica of the butterfly barrette that had led me to Sebastian's doorstep that day, except it was encrusted in diamonds and hanging from a white gold chain. My mouth fell open. I have no words.
I mentioned to Bertie that you told me how much you admired her barrette.
He winked at me, knowing full well that only he and I knew the full story about that barrette and how it had led me to the dog training gig. He continued.
We took it to a jeweler and asked him if he could replicate it in diamonds. I think it came out perfect. I hope you love it.
Getting choked up, I said, Are you kidding? This is the most thoughtful, heartfelt, stunning present anyone has ever given me in my entire life. After I hugged each of them tightly, Sebastian took the necklace out of the box.
Let's put it on you.
The feel of Sebastian's hands on my skin sent a shiver down my spine as he placed the necklace around my neck. My dad smiled from ear to ear.
Looks beautiful, pumpkin.
Bertie's eyes were wide as she took in the bauble.
Now you can think of me every time you wear it.
I hugged her again and said, Honey, I don't need a necklace to think about you. You're always on my mind. But I will cherish this so much. It means more to me than you could ever know. There ended up being no ring in sight that Christmas, and that was just fine by me. I'd rather Sebastian not rush into such an important decision. Was I a little disappointed? Sure.
but I still felt like the luckiest woman on the planet.
Chapter 31. Sebastian. Marmaduke, look at me. The dog raced around the room, his paws scratching against the hardwood floor. Stop, you horse! He continued to scurry. I then remembered the German command for stay. Bleib! That worked. He stopped in front of me. Show me what you did with it.
Roof!
I held out the mangled, empty box and pointed inside. What did you do with the ring?
Roof!
If the past few days were a movie, they would have been dubbed The Year the Dog Ruined Christmas. The morning of Christmas Eve, I'd been standing in front of the mirror in my room, practicing all the poignant words I would recite when I got down on one knee and asked Sadie to be my wife. I hadn't been sure when exactly I was going to pop the question. Either it was going to be Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I only knew it was going to be at some point during those 2 days, when the moment felt right. Birdie knew everything and had planned her own little speech to recite to Sadie when we proposed. With Sadie's father in town to witness it all, it was supposed to be epic. That is, until I decided to leave the ring on my end table while I took a shower. When I emerged from the bathroom, the box was gone. There was no one else to blame but the Duke. He was the only one home at the time, and he'd been in and out of my room moments before my shower. I ended up having to tell Birdie. She and I'd spent the entire day scouring the house for the ring box. We finally found it. Empty. Our dog had lost a $20,000 Tiffany diamond. I supposed I could have still proposed without it. But I'd wanted everything to be perfect. And without a ring, well, that would have pretty much sucked. Thank God I'd also had the idea to have that pendant designed, because at least I had something to give Sadie. What a nightmare. So here I was, the day after Christmas, with no ring, just a crushed empty box, and I was talking to the dog, expecting an answer like a lunatic, as if I could somehow negotiate with him to tell me what he'd done with it. The fact that we'd turned the entire house upside down and still couldn't find the ring was very discouraging, to say the least. If it didn't turn up in the next few weeks, I'd have to cut my losses and purchase a new ring. But I still hadn't given up 100% hope yet. It was strange, too. I sensed something in Sadie when she left this morning, like a disappointment. I wondered if she'd been secretly hoping I'd pop the question. That made all this so much worse, because I desperately wanted to put that ring on her finger. Birdie walked into my bedroom as I continued to negotiate with the dog.
Any luck, Daddy?
No. You? She shook her head.
No. I even went through all my stuffed animals thinking maybe Marmaduke was playing with them and might have had the ring there. But I didn't find anything. Is there anywhere else we could look?
Looking around and scratching my head, I said, I feel like we've searched every corner of the house. Birdie knelt in front of the dog.
Marmaduke, please tell us where you put Sadie's ring.
He just proceeded to lick her face. Even my daughter couldn't work her magic with him when it came to this situation. The doorbell rang. My heart sped up a bit because I knew it was Sadie arriving back at the house for our afternoon plans. She'd only run home for a change of clothes. We'd be taking Marmaduke to the park, then heading to Bianco's for an early dinner. Then later, we'd watch a movie back here. I opened the door to let her in. Hey, sweetheart, I said as I leaned in to kiss her. Sadie's cheeks were rosy from the cold.
Hey.
Your dad make it home okay?
Yeah, he just called. He's safely back in Suffern.
Good. It was nice to spend quality time with him.
Yeah, he really enjoyed you guys, too,
she smiled. Birdie entered the living room with her coat already on.
We're ready whenever you are, Sadie.
Hey, Miss Birdie,
she hugged my daughter.
Did you miss me in the 3 hours I was gone?
Tons,
she giggled. The three of us embarked on our outing with the dog walking us as usual instead of the other way around. When we arrived at the park, we let Marmaduke run around for a bit while we sat on a bench and listened to Birdie go on and on about the kids at school. Meanwhile, the entire time I kept thinking about the damn ring. I hoped my lack of attention wasn't too obvious. I'd hate to have to lie to Sadie when she called me out on being preoccupied. After 20 minutes, Marmaduke finally got tuckered out. We got up from the bench and began the trek home to drop him off so we could head out for dinner at my restaurant. A few blocks down the street, the dog stopped under a tree. We knew what that meant, so we waited while he squatted down. Sadie had been holding the cleanup bag, so she bent down to pick up his droppings. She suddenly froze. "What's wrong?" I asked. Sadie's mouth hung open. She could hardly speak. There's a diamond ring in his poop. Birdie squealed and began jumping up and down. Yay! Me? I literally just stood there, on the sidewalk, with my eyes bugging out in total disbelief. No fucking way. Instead of explaining, something unexpected happened. I just started laughing uncontrollably. It must have been the few days of stress catching up with me. It was apparently contagious because Birdie fell into a laughing fit as well. Sadie was the last to give in. Eventually, she lost control and began cracking up too. Marmaduke then started barking at us. Once I got over my hysteria, I realized Sadie was still standing there looking down at the large, oval diamond and everything that came along with it. I held up my index finger. Stay right there. Don't move. Yeah, not going anywhere at the moment, she laughed. Thankfully, there was a store on the corner. I ran inside, asked the man at the register for a couple of plastic bags, and thanked him profusely. I rushed back, then used one of the bags to cover my hand in order to carefully pick the ring out before placing it in the other bag. Sadie then discarded everything else and tied the other bag she'd been holding. Now collectively over our laughing fits, the three of us just stood there. I needed to acknowledge the ring, but didn't know quite how to do it. So I did what felt right in that moment. Kneeling, I said, Sadie, this is probably going to go down in history as the shittiest proposal in the history of proposals. But now that you saw what you did, I can't erase it. The surprise is already ruined, so I'm going to run with this. I took a deep breath in. I wanted so badly to propose to you over Christmas. Birdie and I had been planning it for some time. Then, as you've probably been able to figure out, the ring went missing. We scoured the earth for it, and now it's clear why it never surfaced. I looked up at the sky to gather my thoughts before I met her gaze again. I was devastated, because I thought the ring was an important part of the process and chose to delay something that in my heart I didn't really want to put off. This was apparently the universe's way of showing me that the ring wasn't the most important part. The most important part of a proposal is the expression of love. I put my hand on my chest. I love you. Birdie loves you. Please say you'll be part of our family forever. Tears covered Sadie's face, her words barely coherent as she nodded. Yes, of course, it would be my honor, yes. Then I stood to kiss my lady hard. My lady, who was still carrying a poop bag. But somehow none of that seemed to matter right now. My daughter jumped and clapped while Marmaduke continued to bark at us. Birdie came between us and we hugged her. We'd gone from laughing to crying in unison. If anyone had been watching this episode on the sidewalk from start to finish, I could only imagine they were either thoroughly confused or thoroughly entertained. I promised to get the ring properly disinfected, I said. She wiped her eyes. It is so beautiful from what I could see of it. I turned to the dog. You could have choked on that, you crazy animal. Sadie laughed. I guess it was fitting that he somehow be a part of this, seeing as how he had a big part in us becoming a family. Birdie excitedly proclaimed,
"And now I can tell everyone my dog poops diamonds."
Epilogue. Sadie. 8 years later. Christmas break had become my new favorite time of year. As I waited at the door for Birdie to arrive home from college for the holidays, I could hardly stand it. I'd missed her so much. Over the years, Birdie had become like a best friend. Our relationship was different from a typical mother-daughter one. It was born out of a conscious choice and desire to be in each other's lives. We weren't stuck together by blood, but rather by some unnamed magical source that felt even stronger. Blood. That word immediately reminded me of one of the hardest days of my life, the day we'd told Birdie the truth. Sebastian and I had decided that when she turned 16, we would tell her about the egg donation. A few months after her birthday, we sat her down with the envelope and told her the story, not only about the donation, but about all the circumstances that led me into their lives, and finally about the possibility that I could be her biological mother. She'd sat there in silence as we laid it all out. I remember thinking she must have been in total shock because out of everything she could have said, the first question out of her mouth was, "You pretended to be the dog trainer?" When the reality had started to set in, it was hard. That was certainly an intense and emotional day, one I'd never forget for as long as I lived. Her emotions ran the gamut, from shock to confusion to sadness to eventually understanding. It took about a full year for things to feel normal again after that, though. But eventually, they did. And if anything, telling her made our relationship stronger. Ultimately, as crazy as our story was, all the pieces of it were still bound together tightly by love. After the revelation, it had taken her almost that full year as well to come to a decision on whether she wanted to definitively find out the results of the DNA test. We decided that if she wanted to, we would get a traditional blood test just to be sure of the accuracy. Birdie ultimately came to the conclusion, however, that knowing whether we were related by blood wouldn't change how much she loved me. She also believed that Amanda might not have wanted her to find out, so she felt it best to continue not knowing. Sebastian and I fully respected her decision, and once she made it, a sense of relief came over our household. We were able to finally move on. Sebastian, Birdie, and I ended up taking the infamous envelope that had been stashed away in Birdie's room and burning it outside. And that was that. Would a part of me always wonder? Sure. But in the end, it didn't change anything. And that was what was important. Ironically, after all these years, letters had become a part of our relationship again. Writing to me was Birdie's favorite way to keep in touch while away at school. She said it was sort of like journaling. The only difference was that she'd share her thoughts and feelings with me rather than keeping them private. It made me so happy that she considered me not only a mother figure, but a friend. I looked forward to every single one of her letters. My son came up behind me, startling me out of my thoughts. "What are you wearing on your head, Mommy?" I pulled him toward me as I continued looking out the window. "Oh, this is my special crown. Your sister gave it to me a long time ago." "It looks too small for you," I laughed. "Is that your way of telling me you want to wear it?" Seb wrinkled his adorable little face like he'd just smelled bad fish. "No, crowns are for girls." "Actually, I think anyone can wear a crown." I leaned in and rubbed my nose against his. "But I'm glad you don't want to wear mine, because it's my most favorite piece of jewelry I own." Seb Jr. was born 6 years ago, as a result of artificial insemination with one of my stored eggs, after Sebastian and I had tried unsuccessfully for a couple of years to conceive naturally. Like his sister, Seb had blonde hair and Sebastian's face.
"She's not here yet," I heard my husband say from behind.
"No, her car must have gotten stuck in traffic." Sebastian placed his hand on the small of my back.
"God, I keep thinking that Marmaduke is going to be so excited to see her, and then I remember he's gone."
A tear started to stream down my cheek at the thought of that. Our precious dog passed away from lymphoma earlier this year, right after Bertie went away for her first semester at Stanford. That day, having to call her and tell her Marmaduke was gone, was the second hardest day of my life. We'd gotten his dog tag made into a necklace for Bertie as a Christmas gift. We wanted her to always have something to remember him by, since their relationship was so special.
"There she is,"
Seb Jr. proclaimed excitedly when he noticed Bertie's Uber pull up. Sebastian ran to the door. My son and I scurried behind him. It was like a race. Bertie stepped out of the vehicle. Just the mere sight of her put a huge smile on my face. Recently, she'd developed a style that was very bohemian chic. Her long blonde hair was tied into a side braid, and she had on a flowy skirt that hung to the ground. But it was what was on top of her head that made me well up. I covered my mouth, feeling emotional. My Bertie had her crown on top of her head, too. I couldn't believe it. Though I probably shouldn't have been so surprised. We'd somehow always been on the same page, right from the very start. Bertie ran up the steps and into Sebastian's waiting arms. He hugged her tightly.
"My baby girl is home."
"I'm so freaking glad to be home."
She moved down to rustle her little brother's hair. "Hey, Squirt. Thank you for holding down the fort for me." When she stood up, she wrapped her arms around me.
"Smommy, you have yours on too. I missed you so much."
Smommy was the name she'd given me shortly after Sebastian and I got married. It was short for Sadie Mommy. Honestly, it was perfect for us. I wasn't her actual mommy, I was her Sadie Mommy. She looked around, and then I saw the tears form in her eyes when the realization hit that our big lug of a dog wouldn't be running to greet her. It was the first time since she was 10 that she was walking into this house without him.
"I can't believe he's gone."
I wiped my eyes.
"I know, honey.
It's literally the only reason I didn't want to come home."
Sebastian rubbed her back.
"He was like your soulmate. He'll always be with you, Bertie. Can we go to the graveyard tomorrow?"
"Of course," I said. "We were planning to do that at some point during your break." She shook her head.
"Okay. Happy thoughts, happy thoughts." She turned to me. "I'm starving."
"Well, I just happened to make your favorite kale salad, and Dad brought a tray of Bertie's pasta bolognese home from the restaurant today." She pumped her fist.
"Hell yeah."
The four of us ventured into the dining room, where I'd already had the table set.
"Will Magdalene be stopping by?" Bertie asked. "I was hoping to see her."
"She'll be visiting tomorrow for Christmas Eve to say hello."
"Oh, cool."
Magdalene no longer worked for us, but was still like family. We kept in touch, and Bertie made sure to write to her all the time from college. Magdalene had informed us a few years ago that she needed to step back to take care of her ailing husband. It was perfect timing, really, because I had been considering quitting the magazine to stay home with Seb, so it worked out for everyone. That decision, in retrospect, was a good call, considering I was about to give birth for a second time in a few months. Bertie paused to look at my belly before serving herself a heaping plate of salad.
"You've really popped, Mommy."
I rubbed my belly.
"I know, it's crazy, right?"
"It's funny how life works sometimes. Sebastian and I tried for years to get pregnant before our son, and ended up turning to artificial insemination. Then, once we accepted the fact that we were probably done having kids, I got pregnant naturally. We were surprised, but ecstatic."
"Are you finding out the sex?" Bertie asked.
"I don't know," Sebastian said. "Smommy and I were talking about that. What do you think? Should we keep this one a surprise?"
"This family is really good at surprises," she said sarcastically. "So yeah, maybe."
Bertie spent the next several minutes shoveling food in her mouth. She finally stopped long enough to say,
"So,"
I tilted my head.
"Yes?"
"I have a visitor coming over tomorrow night for Christmas Eve." Sebastian's brow lifted.
"Visitor?"
"Yeah, my boyfriend." Bertie looked like she was bracing herself for his response. I could literally see the vein popping in Sebastian's neck.
"Boyfriend?"
"Yeah, you know, I am almost 19.
"What's his name?"
I asked. "Don't laugh." She wiped her mouth with a napkin. "It's Duke."
"No way," I said. "That might be a good omen." Or it could mean he's a dog.
Sebastian deadpanned. Dad? Bertie rolled her eyes. He's a good kid.
I'll be the judge of that, Seb Jr. shouted out of nowhere.
He totally got that line from Sebastian, who said it often. We all turned to him and laughed. He was so smart for his age, like a little adult. Even at 6, he sure was protective of his big sister. Sebastian sighed.
I'll try to be on my best behavior.
His family lives in Brooklyn. It's a coincidence that we're both from New York. I reached my hand over to hers.
Well, we can't wait to meet him.
Over the next hour, we polished off all the food as Bertie told us stories from her first year at school. I'd made gingerbread men cookies for dessert. Not a year went by when I didn't make them in honor of Amanda over the holidays. Bertie finished taking a sip of water before she lifted her index finger.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys. In my genetics class, we were studying genotypes and traits. One of the perks of the course is that students get a big discount on one of those DNA tests. You know, the kits you order online and send in a saliva sample? Remember, Dad, I used to put one of those on my Christmas list every year, but Santa never brought me one?
Sebastian glanced over at me, then said,
Yeah, I remember.
Well, I got mine done, finally. The results were really intriguing. I'm basically a mutt. But you know what's really interesting?
What?
I smiled.
I'm part Chinese.
My smile faded as her words set in. I felt a rush of blood course throughout my body. Sebastian and I just looked at each other. And we just knew. Now we knew. Wow. Just wow. We hadn't been seeking the truth. But it seemed the truth found us. And like every single part of our journey, it was magical. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Happily Letter After by Vi Kaland and Penelope Ward, performed by Andy Arndt and Sebastian York. Performance copyright 2020 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc., all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please visit our website at www.brilliancepublishing.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.